Welcome to another message from the heart. Life-changing messages from Pastor Darren Brown, Senior Pastor of Ignite Christian Church.
And so some of us have had the same year, year in and year out. It's like Groundhog Day for years. And it's just the same thing over and over again. But I, for one, do not want that. Who wants 2018 to be the same as all the rest? Nobody. Who wants 2018 to be the best year ever? Yeah, me too. I believe this is a pivotal year for Ignite Christian Church and also for you personally. And, you know, we in the leadership of this church, we have a vision to raise people up to be all that they could possibly be in Jesus Christ. A couple of weeks ago, I was criticized by a visitor for preaching too hard on righteousness. Not apologizing. I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize for that. But, you know, everyone has an opinion. And I'm going to keep preaching the gospel. Is that okay? Good. And I'm not going to apologize for it because I believe we need to hear about righteousness as much as we need to hear about the love of God, because we live in a nation that is dark at the moment. And I'm not here to play games or tickle ears, so I encourage you to be the same. My job is to encourage you and to challenge you. My vision for you is not just to see you cruise through life. How many of you know you can go years just cruising through life? But that's not my vision for you. I don't want to see you just exist. I want to see you thrive and be everything you can possibly be in 2018, to be the person God has destined you to be. Now, I've sought the Lord over the last few months and said, Lord, give us a verse for the coming year. And I couldn't think of anything better than this one. Thanks, Sonia. Matthew 5:16, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. I reckon this is a great verse to face the new year with, don't you? Because we are going into the darkest phase of our society that we've seen in many a year, decades probably. And here's the cool thing, when it's really dark, your light seems brighter even if it isn't. Because all around is dark. But I, for one, want to shine. That's why we're called Ignite. We want to fire up and shine. And that's what we are aiming to do in this next year. In 2018, I believe that Ignite Church can be the light on a hill, and we are called to shine boldly and brightly in this dark world. Now, another verse that our leadership has received several times this year is Isaiah 43:18-19. Remarkable verse, this one. If you've got a Bible or a phone with a Bible, look it up. It's a good one, this one. It says this, remember not the former things, nor consider things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the desert and streams in the wilderness. I believe that this year it's time to stop looking back and start looking forward, because God is doing a new thing. Does that get you excited? I don't like looking back very much. I don't get terribly nostalgic. But one of the things that I'm worst at in my life is maintenance. I don't know what you're like, but like, I'm just terrible when it comes to maintenance. If something breaks, I just patch it up with a bit of sticky tape and keep going. I don't maintain stuff well. Some of you guys here are great at maintenance. I'm not. I'm great at forging ahead and taking new ground. I'm really bad at same old, same old. So this year can't be the same as last year, because I'm going to go nuts if it is. It's like India. My daughter at the moment is in India. She made it to her appointment there in North India. Out of phone signal. It's quite worrying to have your youngest daughter sitting right up on the Nepalese border, ministering to people in a hospital up there, and you can't contact her. It's really nerve-wracking. But it's like India. I reckon when the British pulled out in 1947, they took the word maintenance with them as they went, because everything in India breaks down. Everything. No, they can't put a coat of paint on anything. You look around, everything's just got paint flaking off it. That's me. I can't do maintenance very well. I've got to gather around people around me who can, but I want to forge ahead and do something different. So it's time to stop looking back, however good, however tough, but to start looking ahead at what the Lord has destined for us. As we face this new year, what can make the difference in Ignite and also in us as individuals? Well, first of all, I believe it's time to get intimate with God. This year is our opportunity to fall in love with God. And One of our greatest needs as human beings is to know that we are loved. How many of you know that? You know, it's a feeling we all have. We need to know we're loved. Each of us here has to feel certain deep down in our hearts that someone loves us, someone cares for us and has our best interest at heart. The need to be loved is at the center of most human relationships. If you step back and have a look at it, men and women getting married, love, having families, even having affairs, giving presents at Christmas, bringing up children, playing sport, joining clubs, joining a church, signing up for RSVP. It's all about love. We just want to be loved and accepted by someone. Because that's how we're wired as human beings. And all of us need to know that someone loves us. Well, that's how God designed us. He wants us to know that He loves us, each and every one of us, with a passion that is too intense even for words. In Zephaniah, we don't often go to Zephaniah, but Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17 says this. Listen to the heart of God coming through this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exalt over you with loud singing. God loves you. He's a romantic. And if you fall in love with the Lord in 2018, I tell you, He is a romantic. He loves to be loved, just as we love to be loved. God created human beings with fellowship in mind, first with Himself and then with others. But we cannot fully love each other until we've experienced the love of God in our own hearts. We experience His love when we willingly surrender to His call to be our Savior, our Lord, and our friend. 2018 is the year to get intimate with God. And I want to challenge you on that. It's the year to totally surrender to Him. It's the year to just let it go and say, I'm going to pursue God with all my heart. I was talking with Otto last week. He said there was a time about a year ago, did you say? When you made it, he made a decision. It's either all for Jesus or not at all. That's a great decision. How's it worked out for you? Good. You can see, it's not often you get Germans that passionate, but he's going, yes, es ist sehr gut. And that's great. But I want to ask you this morning, are you spiritually deaf? In fact, many of us are actually spiritually deaf. We can't hear God. I have people come to me all the time and say, listen, I'm not sure if I can hear God or not. I don't know if you're in that boat. But there's kind of two extremes here. People come and they say, look, I love God, but I have trouble hearing God. The other one is people who think that God is talking to them all the time, and they go to people saying, God told me to tell you this, God told me to tell you this, God told me to tell you this. So it's kind of got two extremes here. Very often the people come and tell you that God told them to tell you something, and that happens a lot when you're a pastor, trust me. They preface it with the word, God told me, as if it's like a, and what can you, how do you respond to that? You've either got to say, no, he didn't. I've had people come to me and say, God's told me to tell you this, and it's just been off the wall, and it's been wrong, and I know it's wrong. So what do I say? Well, listen harder, you know, unstop your ear. I don't know what to say other than you're not hearing God. Many people claim to hear God, but they don't. And very often, we mentioned this the other week, very often people will say, God told me, because that's how Christians manipulate each other. It is. Let's call it what it is. God told me that this has got to happen. I have people come to tell me, God told me that you mustn't change the name of the church. Excuse me. Do you think I should change the name of church? Absolutely not. My opinion is you shouldn't. Well, don't get your opinion mixed up with God's. If you say God told me, you'd better be sure. And you better have scripture and stuff supporting that, I'll tell you. Of all the people who say God told me to tell you this over the past year, I can count barely a handful who I believe it would genuinely be God. And many good people on the other end of the scale, they tell me, look, I love God, but I'm never sure if God is talking to me. I'm never sure if He's speaking. So this year, my question to you is, how can you foster a lifestyle and an attitude that enables God to speak to you intimately as He's promised He will? God is speaking all the time. We just don't hear. I've got a dog that's deaf now. I've got two little dogs. They used to look like two slippers beside your bed, white furry dogs, right? And one of them is blind, so she can't see anything. And the boy, he's as deaf as a post. So you come in and you say, "Let's go," and he's just, you know. And sometimes we're like that. We don't hear. It's like we're deaf. So hearing God should be a part of every Christian's relationship with the Lord. And coming into this next year, part of what Fiona and I want to do is to train people on how to hear God properly. Because if I can share my heart with you, I am sick of thinking that listening to God, you got to turn into a weirdo. Because my experience is that many of the people who say, "God told me," they're just odd. Have you noticed that? Who else has noticed that? True confession. They're just like, it's like Romans 12 verse 2. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the removing of you." Does it say removing of your mind? Have you got to chuck your brain away to hear God? No. It says the renewing of your mind, not the removing of your mind. It's the renewing of your mind. But we get that wrong. We think if we're going to hear God, we've got to be floating 6 inches above the floor everywhere we go. You know, it's just not true. Fiona and I want to write a course called Hearing God for Non-Weirdos, because it should be a part of your life and my life. But neither should we be spiritually hard of hearing. You know, religious people today and back in Jesus' day have a real problem hearing God. Even back in Jesus' day, they didn't have a great track record of hearing and listening to God and acting upon it. Look at Matthew 13, verses 14 to 15. Now, this is really interesting because this is Jesus talking about the religious people of his day. Okay, the people who were supposed to be God's chosen people, who were supposed to have a relationship with God. Listen to what he said. He quotes Isaiah and he says this: "Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, 'You will indeed hear but never understand. You will indeed see but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. With their ears they can barely hear. With their eyes they are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and I would heal them.'" Even today this is the case. So we've got either end of the spectrum a lot of times. Either you're floating 6 inches above the ground thinking God's telling you everything that you want, or at the other end you're saying, "I can't hear God." We should be in the middle, shouldn't we? We should be able to hear God clearly and accurately, but as part of our everyday life. And we will teach you as we go through the year, we want to actually teach you that. But I want to give you one word now that will transform your year. One word. That's not too hard. Everybody say one word. There you go. It's only one. My granddaughter's two. She can count to one. If you put out a bunch of things, she can count them. One more, one more, one more, one more, one more. One. She can count to one. One's not hard to count to. So I want to give you one word that can transform your year. One word that will open your eyes to what God wants you to see. One word that will open your spiritual ears to hear Him. One word that if you truly embraced it and acted upon it, it will take the life that you live right now and it will morph it into the life that you have dreamed of. The powerful, Spirit-filled life that your Father has destined for you. One word, and the word is surrender. Charles Stanley said this: "Our intimacy with God determines the impact of our lives." So surrender is the big word. Surrender is defined as to yield to the power, control, or possession of another. Surrender. Romans 12 verse 1, "I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." That word present in the Greek is the word parastemi, which means to yield or to surrender. Now, when I think of surrender, I always think of soldiers with their hands above their heads yielding to whoever's conquering them. A bit like that, only probably more dramatic. Is that what you think of when you think of surrender? I don't know if you've ever seen that show. There's a show on TV called Cops. Have you ever seen that show? Some of you here get upset if I say the word, you know, it reminds you, brings back bad memories. But there's a show called Cops, and when they pull over a car, they tell the guys to get out with their hands in the air. because they're surrendering. That's what surrendering is. You yield up your rights and your ideas and you lay them all aside and you surrender. Now, when it happens in a war, the soldiers coming out of the bunker with their hands in the air, they're full of fear because they have been fighting against the enemy. They've been killing and destroying members of the attacking team. And so yielding or surrendering their life means they place their life into their enemy's hands with no guarantees of survival or humane treatment. When you surrender, you can't dictate terms. You just can't do it. When you surrender, you surrender. You don't come in with an agenda. You can't have a surrender agenda. It doesn't work. You either surrender or you come in with an agenda. So when you surrender, you've got to lay all of your rights aside. Now, we live in a society that loves rights. How many of you know that? I've mentioned this before, but it's so true. You know, we've got so many rights in our society. If you step back and look at the number of people pushing barriers and wanting, you know, plugging rights for this and rights for that. We've got land rights for our Aboriginal people. We've got, you know, gay rights. We've got men's rights. We've got women's rights. We've got save the koala, save the whale. So we should just wrap it all together and have land rights for gay whales and forget about it and move it, because we don't get any rights when we surrender. You lay your rights aside. You don't get rights. You just get surrender. When we yield to Christ, it's not like when you're surrendering on a battlefield. On a battlefield, you're putting your life into the hands with no guarantees of humane treatment, no guarantees of survival. They can shoot you dead right there. No one will care unless CNN finds out about it. Right? That's how it is on a battlefield. But when you surrender to Christ, it's different, because you are surrendering or yielding to Christ, the one who has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 9 verse 10 says this, those who know your name will trust in you, for you, our Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You see, when you surrender to Christ, you're surrendering to someone who has your best interests at heart. There's no fear that he's going to kill you or treat you badly or lock you in a box or something. There's no fear, because you're surrendering to someone who actually loves you. So there are at least three reasons that God seeks our surrender. Number one is that God desires fellowship. God loves us and desires fellowship and worship. If we hold something back from God, if we refuse to draw close to him by surrendering our lives to him, we cannot know him completely or fully experience his love. James 4 verse 7 and 8 is one of the best passages ever. It is a great passage of scripture. Listen to this. Submit yourselves then to God, or surrender to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. What James is calling for there is saying, get serious with God and surrender. Yield to God and he will draw near to you. You haven't got to worry that if I surrender to God, he'll run away. If you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. When we surrender to him, we yield our lives to him. And then we get all of him. Many people go to God all the time. They ask him for stuff all the time. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. God, take control here. God, heal me of this. God, get me this. That's God's hand. Don't seek God's hand. Seek his heart. You get his hand as well. Seek his heart. Draw near to him and he will draw near to you. The second thing is that God desires our service. God wants our service for him to be effective and fruitful. The more we know and love Jesus, the more effective our service will be. And the more he will grow our ministry. That's the key thing. Wouldn't you love a ministry that was changing the world? Who would love to do that? I would love to do that. That wasn't just changing people around, but just changing the whole world. I can't make that happen. But God can grow whatever ministry he chooses in me if I draw near to him. That's the key. Serving is the key. And the closer we draw to God, the more impact that our lives will have. The more energetic we will be, the more nurturing in our relationships with others we will be, because he is nurturing our relationship. The greater the positive mark we will leave is when we draw close to him. Colossians 3 verse 23-24 says this, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that From the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. See, when you serve somewhere, you're not serving people, you're serving Him. Number one, yeah, you serve people, but you're serving Him. That's what service is. And service is when you lay aside your rights, which we talked about before, and say, I'm just going to serve with all my heart. Surrendering to God means more effective service. And what this means is that He can grow your ministry within you. When I started out playing the guitar years ago, I wanted to play, you know, typical teenager with a guitar. What do you want to do? I want to play at the Hollywood Bowl next week. I'm not impatient. I'll wait 2 weeks before I play at the Hollywood Bowl. I don't want to do the hard yards. I don't want to go out and play in pubs and clubs and work my way. I just want to be famous. So that's what it was like when I was 17. Lord, now I'm a Christian. I want to be famous for Jesus. So I want to put me on a really big stage for Jesus. You know what young people are like? Anybody here like that? I just want to be the star of the show. That was me. And, you know, I started a ministry, started going around to churches all around the nation and overseas a bit, but all around the nation in particular. I remember one time I traveled 9 hours there and 9 hours back for 9 people and a dog. It wasn't very glamorous. I wanted to be a star. 9 people and a dog is not a star. I'm telling you now. But the Lord was honing me. He was changing me. I used to have posters with my name on it. I thought, that's pretty good. I've got my own poster. How good is that? Put it all over my own wall. Attaboy, you know. But here's the great key that I discovered. Along came a man called Bill Newman, who is an evangelist, if you don't know him. Quite a famous evangelist. And God spoke to me. He used to take a number of artists with him, but God spoke to me. He said, I want you to lay your life at this man's feet and serve him with all your heart. And that's what I've done for the last 25 years. And you know, when we have posters, my name's not there. I've got none of Bill's posters on my wall. I'll put one up because I found one with my name this big at the bottom. Woo! All I've done is serve him. Everywhere we go, it's Bill Newman and team. I'm the team, you know. But with this man, as I've just served faithfully and served faithfully, God's raised that ministry up. We've ministered in front of 10, 20, 50, 80,000 people at once. And I didn't do it. Unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain. But as you serve, the fastest way to grow your ministry is to serve. That's the fastest way. If you want a ministry, if you have something burning in your heart, serve. Don't push your own barrow. Serve. Because that's how ministries grow. The third thing is God desires to bless us. He wants us to surrender because He wants the freedom to bless us. You know Jeremiah 29, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. We often quote that verse because God gives us a hope and a future. Who knows that verse? But the next two verses are the key. We often overlook this. Then you will call to me and come and pray to me and I will hear. So the next step is to be intimate with God. Then he says this, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. See, that's surrender. When you seek God with all your heart, that is surrender. God is omnipotent. He is all powerful. He can do anything he likes, but he will not violate his own principles. He draws us to himself so that we can experience his love and forgiveness. He asks for us to be willing to surrender so that he can give us the best blessings that he has to offer. Sometimes we are a little bit like a child watching TV. I thought about this because we've got a 2-year-old running around the place. But you put a 2-year-old in front of Paw Patrol. How many times have we watched Paw Patrol, Fiona, do you reckon? A billion? Without over-exaggerating, a billion. It feels like a billion. So you put a 2-year-old in front of Paw Patrol and they're just stuck there, you know. But imagine this. There's a young child in front of the TV, but the parent comes in and says, hey, I want to take you to the zoo. Picks up the child, but the child doesn't understand, and the child is resistant. I want to stay here, starts crying and carrying on. Now, what's going to come going to the zoo is a far greater blessing than watching Paw Patrol on TV. But they don't see the end result. And we can be like that. We're so intent on what we're doing, we get upset when God takes us somewhere else and says, hey, come with me. No, go away. I'm going to resist that. Go away. I don't want to do that. But if we followed him and just were yielded to him and surrendered to him, the end result would be amazing. We're like kids sometimes. So don't join the resistance. That's the point of saying that. Don't join the resistance. I know if you look at World War II and stuff, you had the French resistance where they were people that were in there, and everything that happened with the conquerors were there, they resisted all the time. But we can be like that in our life. We want to resist. Our natural inclination, I think, is to resist. Why do we want to join the resistance instead of surrendering to someone whose expressed desire is to bless us and not to harm us? With all the blessings God clearly has in mind for us, why would anybody resist? If you could see the whole picture, you would never resist. You would surrender to him immediately, but we don't. We focus in on what we think we know, and we resist change. So, why do we resist? I'll tell you why. Number one, pride. How many of you know that pride is the reason most people resist surrendering? I remember Kira, my middle girl, when she was young, learning to tie her shoes. Who has lived through the learning to tie your shoes scenario? Okay, she used to sit down and she used to, and like, we're late, we've got to go, we're on a time clock here, I will do it myself. And she'd sit there for, and we'd go, oh my gosh, I'm going to get a ticket trying to make up for the time that we've lost while she's sitting there learning how to do her shoes. You see, we are like that. People think they know better than God, and they can handle their own lives better than he can. So we keep him at a distance. It's our pride. We think we can do a better job, which is ironic given the mess that most of our lives finish up in. Proverbs 18 verse 12 says this, before destruction, a man's heart is prideful, but humility comes before honor. That's pride goes before a fall. How many of you have heard that? God wants us to put our trust in him. We insult God. Listen to this. We insult God when we don't trust him and we trust our own resources or somebody or something else to deliver us from our problems. We insult him. When we surrender our lives to God, we become his chosen vessels as he's promised, and he will bless us. He's promised to hear us when we call out to him. When we surrender our lives to him, he hears us. When we surrender our lives to him, he can lead us and guide us into the future. He'll speak to us. The second reason we resist, though, is fear. Others, it's not pride, but it's more fear. They do not surrender because they fear what God will do or not do for them. How many of you know what that feels like? You think that if you give control to God, that he'll make you do exactly what you most don't want to do. And apparently, we can trust God for our salvation. We can trust God to give us heaven, but we cannot trust him enough to fulfill heaven on earth by helping us live a life of fulfillment and joy. There's that old story. I know Mark would know about this. The missionary who played, please don't send me to Africa. So where did God send her? Africa. I actually prayed that and finished up in Africa myself. So, you know, it's this whole idea, I want to control my life because if I give control to God, he may not do what I want him to do. That's true. He may do something far grander and more wonderful. Fear of the Lord is a great thing, but fear of the future is not. Can you trust God this morning to exceed your fear for the future? Can your trust in God be greater than your fear for the future? Because the Lord is asking us this morning to surrender. Proverbs 29 verse 25 says this, fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. Who can relate to that? When you trust in the Lord, you're safe. We often treat God like he's a man, thinking that he's out to punish us or make us suffer or make us do things we hate, just to show us who's the boss. God is not like that. So stop tarring him with the same brush that you tar a world leader or a politician or a pastor with. Someone in leadership. We say, oh, I can't trust him. He's going to abuse me. He's going to take advantage of me. He's going to ask me to do stuff that I hate. This is what Jesus said. John 14, 27 says, this peace I leave with you. My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. When you come to God and you give Him, you fully surrender to Him, don't have any fear. You must not have any fear, because He has promised to prosper you and not to harm you. He's not out to mess up your life. People come to me and say, I don't want to get serious with God because I like my vices too much. I'm afraid that if I come to God, He won't let me go out clubbing on a Saturday night, and He won't let me, you know, do all these bad things and do drugs and stuff like that. Look, that stuff, that is a pathway to destruction, that stuff. You know that. I know. I don't even have to tell you that. Right? That sort of lifestyle does nothing but create destruction. And listen, I don't give up my garbage. I throw it away. I chuck the stuff because it's not worth anything. And that lifestyle, in the end, is not worth anything. So you don't give something up for God. You throw it away and you trust Him for the future. The third reason that we resist is unbelief. Many refuse to believe, refuse to surrender to Christ because they believe Satan's lie, which tells them that God is judgmental and He will punish them for their mistakes. So it's not just that they've got the fear, they actually believe what Satan says about God. Listen to what Jesus says about Satan. You've often probably wondered what Jesus thinks about Satan. This is it, John chapter 8, verse 44. Listen to this. Satan, He says, was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. Why would you believe a liar? If someone has a track record of lying, why would you suddenly believe them? Don't let your pride, don't let your fear, don't let your unbelief stop you from fully surrendering to the Lord. So this morning, it's time to surrender. God always has our best in mind. He will refuse us no good thing when we gladly submit to His will. He tells us, I know the plans I have for you to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. Romans 8, verse 31 to 32 says this, for if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? You can trust God. If you surrender this morning, you can trust God. What about my rent money? You can trust God for that. What about my job? You can trust God for that. You can trust God when you fully surrender to Him. When we fully surrender, He will withhold no good thing. Now, of course, we'll still face trials of many kinds, but He will graciously help us triumph over them and use the trials to bring about good and build our character. It only makes sense to surrender to God because when we do, we grow closer to Him, which is His highest priority for us, and we begin to have an impact on our world. God's greatest desire for you this morning is that you will come close to Him. His greatest desire is not to give you a new car, not to give you a new house, not to give you a new, you know, wife or husband or children. His greatest desire is that you'll get close to Him. Because if you get close to Him, if you seek His heart, you get everything. Right now, at the start of a new year, is a perfect time to fully surrender and yield to Him and allow Him to fulfill our destiny. I have to confess to you, I have to do this almost every day. No, make that every day. Sometimes several times a day. I constantly have to fully surrender my life to Christ. Is anybody here like that? Thank the Lord I'm not the only one. I thought I was. But, you know, you go through it and you yield yourself, Lord, I surrender to You. Have Your way, Lord God. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. You know, you give Him everything. And then 5 minutes later, you're taking it back from Him and you're doing it yourself. Listen, I like Bunnings as best, you know, as much as the next guy. But get out of the do-it-yourself section. My wife has banned me from do-it-yourself projects. I don't really understand why. But sometimes we try and do it ourselves and it doesn't work out. Does anybody here relate to that? Like the time I tried to refill my ink in my computer in the days of inkjets, And I got this syringe and I shoved it in the ink thing and I pushed and it wasn't working. I was saving money, filling my own ink things. And suddenly it exploded. There was blue ink all over the bathroom forever because it doesn't come out. I look like a Smurf. Don't do do-it-yourself projects, Fiona says. But I'm saying that to you. Get out of the do-it-yourself section and let him do it. Fully consecrate, fully surrender yourself to him. I'm tempted a lot of times in my life by trusting in my own abilities and talents and skills. In my profession as an optometrist, I trust, you know, my abilities to play stuff or to do stuff on computers. I've got skills and abilities, as do you. And it's very tempting to just trust those. But it's time for us to yield those, folks. Surrender them and let him pick us up and use us. We, the greatest financial disasters of our life came at the hands of experts. Right? When we said, went to financial advice, put your money here, it'll be great. Fantastic. It wasn't. So, you know, we need to yield to the and surrender to the Lord and not trust in other sorts of things. Trust in him, number one. When I fully surrender to Christ, when I fully trust him for my provision and my future, my reputation, my blessings, that is when he can truly work on my behalf. Whatever I have to face, if I can face it with Jesus, I will be content. Folks, it is time this morning, as we wrap it up, it is time for you to realign. This is the cry. This is the cry of my heart. I'm hoping it is the cry of your heart. Do you want to know the Savior and live in fullness, the fullness of his blessings every day? Who wants that for your life? Yeah? David wrote this, Psalm 34, verse 10. Young lions suffer want and hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Young lions try their best, but they're young, they're strong, and they're headstrong. This year, are you resolved to working harder, trying harder, doing your best more often, or are you ready to surrender and give it all to Jesus? Because it's not about working harder. It's not about doing more stuff. It's about fully surrendering to him. Now, if you board a flight, if you go down to Maroochydore Airport and you board a flight down there, headed for Sydney, who's done that? Many of you? Okay, so you're flying out of Maroochydore, you're heading to Sydney. If the pilot is 1 degree to the east off when he leaves Maroochydore, you won't land in Sydney at the airport. You will be 17 kilometres out to sea. 1 degree. Just 1 degree. At the start of this year, we need to constantly realign. How does the pilot stay on course? He constantly realigns, constantly, the whole time. Oh, I'm a degree off, tip it back in. Oh, I'm a degree off, tip it back in. And he doesn't fly in a straight line. There's constant realignments happening all the time. It's like watching Raymond paddle my kayak. He paddles and it goes off to the left. So he paddles on the right, it goes off to the right and off to the left and off to the right. You constantly have to realign. Otherwise, if you just paddle one direction, you go round in circles. And I don't want your life to go round in circles this year. At the start of this year, we need to realign, constantly realign, day in and day out. We need to be totally surrendering to the Lord, day in and day out, starting right now. So if you've drifted in your devotion from the Lord last year, and maybe you feel as though you're growing more distant every day in your relationship with him, then I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask that he will draw you back to him, that as you draw close to him, he will draw close to you, that he will come and use you in a mighty way in this coming year and bring hope and light to your situation, no matter how dark and hopeless you feel. Listen to Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Now, I have one illustration to finish up. It's a very famous one and I really love it. A guy called Charles Blondin. Anybody ever heard of Charles Blondin? Very famous. Back in the 1860s, he was a tightrope walker. And he was very famous. That's an actual photograph of him up there. He was very famous for walking across Niagara Falls on a tightrope. The tightrope stretched a quarter of a mile and it was 160 feet above Niagara Falls. He performed this death-defying feat many times in a variety of ways. This is what fascinated with people about him. He went over one time on stilts. He went over one time on a bicycle. I can't even make a bicycle stand up on a flat ground, let alone on a tightrope. He even carried a small stove and eggs across and stopped halfway across Niagara Falls and made an omelette. This is true. This is what he actually did. This is all recorded. How incredible is that? Then, in his most famous crossing, he took a wheelbarrow across the falls. He pushed a wheelbarrow on a tightrope across the falls. And he went across and he came back and he said to the assembled crowd there, "Do you believe that I can carry a man across Niagara Falls in my wheelbarrow?" "Yes," they replied, "you're blonde and you're the greatest tightrope walker ever." "Fantastic," he said. "Who's going to hop in?" And nobody did. Can you imagine that? James 2, verse 17 to 18 says this: "Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works.' Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith with works." What is he saying there? He's saying that you can come up with all the rhetoric. You can say, "Lord, I love you. I want to serve you. I surrender to you," all that sort of stuff. But if you don't do something about it, it's just rhetoric. It's just words. And I believe that God is asking us right at the start of the year to surrender our lives to him and to be serious about it and to accompany that not just with the words, but to accompany it with the change of heart and to say, "Lord, I do fully yield and surrender to you." So you've heard me call for total surrender this morning, and you might be sitting back there saying, "Well, congratulations, Pastor Dan. We're glad our pastor has surrendered to the Lord. Good on you." That's not good enough. I want you to be surrendered to the Lord. It's not a spectator sport. Christianity is not a spectator sport. I want you to get involved. I want you to be committed to him fully, fully surrendered, fully yielding to him. Not just agreeing in principle or thinking or resolving it, but by stepping out and doing it. William Booth said this: "The greatness of a man's power is in the measure of his surrender." And I believe that's true. Would you bow your heads?
You've been listening to Pastor Darren Brown from Ignite Christian Church on the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia. For more great teaching and information, visit www.ignitechurch.org.au.